Why must we, the taxpayers, continue to fund Planned Parenthood in light of the fact that they do so many abortions and they receive a lot of money for that? We're going to talk about this, whether the funding is at the federal level or at the state level or even at the local level. Our guest is Eric Scheidler, a returning guest on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Eric, so great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure. Okay, so I understand that in your neck of the woods, in the greater Chicago area, there's a concern about the state of Illinois funding Planned Parenthood, and then also local, some Chicago city clerks, etc. But in the meantime, there's still even the larger issue, the fact that Congress has not yet defunded Planned Parenthood. So, you know, we're talking about the taxpayers forking over their hard-earned money to support America's largest abortion lobby. Go ahead and wax eloquent on this issue.
Well, you know, it's discouraging, I have to admit. You know, here we are at the beginning of a new year and preparing for all of our pro-life activities. And looking back at where we were last year, we had tremendous momentum, and there was a strong feeling that we truly were going to defund Planned Parenthood. This would be just perhaps a fatal blow, but certainly a major blow to Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, which has cornered, by the way, 35% of the abortion market in our country through a whole series of mishaps. And I think the main one is John McCain backing out of the Obamacare repeal. We were not able to get that done last year. Congress moved on to tax reform, and they were able to do some dismantling of Obamacare through that, but not anything directly defunding Planned Parenthood yet. So we face a tougher battle now because we have a little bit fewer votes. We've won fewer votes in the Senate, and we only have 49 pro-life votes in the Senate. So it's going to be very difficult to defund Planned Parenthood unless there's some kind of an electoral change, or we can convince a couple more senators who are sitting on the fence to come over to our side. So we have a real uphill battle, more so than last year, in defunding Planned Parenthood. But that makes it all the more important that we continue to fight. You know, these kinds of measures can take a very long time to accomplish. I mean, just think how long it took for slavery to finally be outlawed in this country.
Yeah.
It took a tremendous number of years and determination on the part of those who were speaking out on behalf of the human dignity of enslaved Americans. So we have to have the same kind of determination, and that means at the national level, at the state level, and at the local level.
You know, and if I could, just real fast, as far as the slavery issue, especially going in England about 50 years before our emancipation, well, 30 years before the emancipation, you know, in any way, you had this great movement by committed Christians. That's the bottom line. William Wilberforce, and then he surrounded himself with other like-minded Christians, and a couple of them were members of Parliament, etc., including Wilberforce, fighting so hard against slavery. And that was all peaceful. In the American situation, unfortunately, you know, it was the Civil War that ultimately ended slavery. But, of course, the agitation began on that and did begin on in a peaceful way, and nobody would be advocating in any way any kind of violence related to the abortion issue. But why should you and me, Eric, why should we be forced to have our hard-earned tax dollars pay for somebody's abortion when we don't even think it's right?
Well, it is truly outrageous that Planned Parenthood is getting this money. We should be clear, though, as to exactly what it is that we're fighting. Planned Parenthood is able to get this money by primarily through providing contraceptives, but also through some of their STD testing, PAP tests, and some of the other things that they do. Worth noting that every year Planned Parenthood gets more money from the government, but every year Planned Parenthood does fewer of those things that they're supposedly doing instead of abortion. These, you know, STD screenings and PAP tests and these kinds of things, which can be legitimate medicine. Planned Parenthood doesn't directly get funds for abortion from taxpayers at the federal level, but they do at the state level. And sad to say, my home state of Illinois has just started to fund abortions through Medicaid, and Planned Parenthood is becoming a major recipient of our taxpayer dollars, especially now that they've opened up a brand new abortion facility, a mega center in the south suburbs of Chicago. So we are seeing Planned Parenthood get taxpayer dollars from the states and get tons of money, hundreds of millions of dollars every year from the federal government. And why is this? Well, Planned Parenthood has been able to position themselves falsely as a legitimate health care provider. And so that's why we're fighting so hard, not just to get our elected officials at the state and federal level to defund them, but also to get the Justice Department to indict Planned Parenthood. If they can be found guilty of having broken the law, this could be a very major step in getting them defunded at the federal level.
You know, you and I first met because you were fighting Planned Parenthood in Aurora, Illinois, where your home is based. And they basically lied to get into town. They didn't even say that, well, we're here to provide abortions. Instead, they misrepresented themselves, and there was a big lawsuit, and ultimately they're still there, unfortunately.
Well, I wouldn't say ultimately. We are still fighting them in the courts. In fact, we had a hearing before the State Court of Appeals just 2 weeks ago in our case to get them shut down. We feel like we'll probably have to go to the Illinois Supreme Court to finally get justice there, and that is a really, really tough battle for us here in Illinois. So it's a strange kind of deja vu right now, because we're now discovering that Planned Parenthood has just opened this facility in Flossmoor following the same pattern of lying about who they were. And we're trying to hunt down maybe something that they may have done wrong on the law that we can hold them accountable for. But it's always difficult, because Planned Parenthood has, you know, just a staff full of lawyers. They have law firms that are very committed to their cause, and they're very crafty on the legal side.
And speaking of crafty, they often will argue, well, hey, look, only 3% of the funding we get is related to abortion. Really, what you're funding, you know, when you give your tax dollars to us, is to keep the light bills on, you know, to make the computers work, you know, et cetera. What's your rebuttal to that? I know we've addressed it in depth in previous programs, but I think the issue is worth, you know, readdressing.
Yeah, absolutely. Every dollar that Planned Parenthood gets, and they often overcharge for the things that they're providing under the Title 11 and other laws that allow them to collect our tax dollars. So they're able to build their war chest and keep their doors open and keep those abortion clients coming in. It's also worth noting that, you know, when Planned Parenthood is doing something like, say, a cancer screening or an STD test, this is an opportunity for them to build the market for abortion in their area. So they get exposed to a clientele that they can then sell abortions to. So there are so many ways that Planned Parenthood's, you know, provision of taxpayer money helps them. But we know that abortion is really their central business. Again, 35% of the abortion market is controlled by Planned Parenthood. And abortion is their number one source of clinic income. They claim that that all of their services, they only provide 3% of abortions, but that's by adding up every single thing. You know, so you go in for an abortion and get a pregnancy test and get some, you know, 5 minutes of counseling or less. You get a packet of pills for birth control when you leave, and they count each of those as a separate thing, as if you were there for 12 different things that day, when, you know, every woman going for an abortion at Planned Parenthood knows that's what she's there for. It really is the one thing that sets them apart. And so often, where they put their health centers claiming there's a need, there will be other health facilities within only a few miles that provide a far broader range of services with a higher quality of care. Planned Parenthood is really abortion incorporated, and it's high time that they be cut off from all taxpayer dollars.
A comment, if you will, on Cecile Richards, I guess, announcing that she's going to step down as the chairman of Planned Parenthood. It'll still be business as usual despite her departure, correct?
Yeah, you know, I'm really not sure quite what to think about this. Is Richards, you know, simply tired of it and wants to go on to find something else to do? Maybe she'll run for office. Or is she running away from the, you know, the implosion of services Planned Parenthood has presided over since she came in? You know, since she came into Planned Parenthood, their cancer screenings have fallen by 67%. They're doing 60% fewer breast exams, 74% fewer pap tests, but 21% more abortions. This is the one area in providing abortion and in getting taxpayer dollars that Cecile Richards has been successful. I have to wonder if maybe someone at the Planned Parenthood board isn't starting to ask questions about these numbers that the pro-life movement has been complaining about for years now. Maybe she's trying to jump off of this this potentially sinking ship. We also are seeing potential indictments coming down from the Justice Department over the horrific scandal of Planned Parenthood harvesting and then selling tissue, body parts, from aborted children. So we don't know exactly what motivates this. She has been, on the PR side, a very great boon for Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a well-looking woman, well-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her mother was the governor of Texas, so having her out of there is probably good for us. And I'll be interested to see who they put in her place, because it'll be hard to match Cecil Richards in terms of a sort of attractive public figure.
Yeah, no, I think that's very well put. Pursue more the cancer screenings that you were talking about. I thought they don't do mammograms, but that doesn't mean there aren't other ways in which there are cancer screenings, right?
Exactly. I mean, they do provide manual breast exams, and other.
And yet that number is down. You said 67%.
That number has fallen down by 60%, and other cancer screenings by 67%.
Oh wow!
But they provide zero mammograms, and in fact, Cecil Richards, during her tenure, not too long ago, was caught by Congress lying about the mammograms, either lying or she just simply doesn't even know what her own organization is doing. They love to tout mammograms. Two things they like to talk about, mammograms and prenatal care. They provide zero mammograms. There's not a single mammogram machine in any Planned Parenthood office in the country. They do provide a tiny pittance of prenatal care, and for the most part, we're simply talking about prenatal vitamins, which you could get at any drugstore, and they like to call that prenatal care. We're not talking about an obstetrician that's there taking care of a woman through her pregnancy and delivering her baby. They do it, you know, very tiny, tiny fraction of that, less than 0.01% or something like this, just so they can say that they do it and then tout it when they have their big speeches on the National Mall and Las Vegas and other places like that. In reality, when you investigate this, and the group Live Action did this, they called up all these Planned Parenthood centers, and the people on the other end of the phone almost laugh, in some cases literally laugh out loud when you ask them if they provide prenatal care. No, we do abortions here. And they get confused when you ask them about prenatal care. So Planned Parenthood likes to present themselves as a sort of a linchpin of health care in this country. But in fact, most women will never walk through the doors of a Planned Parenthood. And of those who do, 1 out of 9 will have an abortion that year.
Oh, wow. How many children are born from adoption through the auspices of Planned Parenthood?
Oh, just a tiny handful. They provide something like 12 or 20 times more abortions than they do adoption referrals. In fact, some years in their annual report, they don't even list adoption referrals, and that's always been a little bit puzzling to us. And we have seen their relationship.
Are you guessing because that's so paltry? Are you guessing that that's because there's just so few of them that's why they're not reporting it?
Yeah, that's been our guess in the years where they haven't reported anything in that category. But, again, it's just one of those areas where they want to be able to say adoption referrals because that sounds good. Everybody has a positive feeling about adoption. But this is not something that they're promoting, and abortion is where they make their money.
Hmm. And they must make a lot of it. What is Title 11 that you referred to earlier?
This is the federal bill. I think it was signed into law by Richard Nixon that provides federal dollars through Medicaid for family planning services, primarily through contraceptives. And that's how Planned Parenthood is able to cash in on so much federal money.
That's
the main way. There's other ways, too. It's actually a very complicated web of channels that funnel that money to Planned Parenthood through state and federal governments.
Every once in a while, you'll read about a Planned Parenthood center shutting down. Under her administration, Cecile Richards, do you know offhand, have there been more closures than there have been new ones opening? Or just give us a big picture of that.
Yeah, there have been far more closures than there have been openings. Unfortunately, though, when they open a new facility, it's often a very large facility designed to provide abortions and other pittance services to a very, very broad community. For example, the facility that just opened a few weeks ago in Flossmoor, Illinois, is going to be attracting customers from Indiana, from all over the south side of Chicago, the south suburbs, and the countryside as well. Planned Parenthood, I don't know the exact number of places that have shut down under Cecile Richards' leadership, but in 2017 alone, 32 Planned Parenthood facilities shut down.
Oh, wow.
They did open a few of those large centers, though. So we're seeing a shift and a sort of amalgamation of Planned Parenthood centers. And they're moving out of some of the places where they claim to be so essential. They've moved out of rural areas. and just left the local health county health boards and so forth to kind of deal with that. So their actions absolutely don't match the propaganda about their provision of health care to the poor and to the rural and to the needy.
Huh.
It's also worth mentioning that when Planned Parenthood talks about serving the poor, they will consider any woman poor if she is, she could be a college student going to a really great college, but under her, not wanting to use her parents' insurance for whatever reason, they will call her a poor woman. So high school students, college students who are, coming from, well-to-do families, but are not using their family's health insurance at Planned Parenthood, they will be counted as under the poverty line that Planned Parenthood is serving. So even those services they do provide to the poor, those numbers are not at all reliable.
Wow. All right, well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. ProLifeAction.org for more information. Eric Scheidler. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk.
Okay, bye-bye.